My goal is to design an interior that inspires my clients. That's it.
This is The Safari. The Safari is a tour around the consumer, brand, and retailing industry. And we have the great privilege here at my company, Traub, to really be exposed to many of the great minds of the industry who are forming and shaping the future of many different parts of the consumer, brand, and retail world. And I felt it was quite interesting for us to be able to not only learn from all of those people as we do every day, but memorialize it into a podcast, which could then be shared with many of our friends and clients and you, obviously, the listener.
Hi, this is Kate Durge, and you are listening to The Safari. In today's episode, I talk to Sarah Story. Since founding her design firm, Sarah Story has forged a reputation for imparting her zest for living life to the fullest. Through extensive travels and love of art and challenging herself, she brings love and joy to all of her projects. We talk about her latest philanthropic endeavor, as well as her first book, The Art of Home. She is the brightest light with the biggest laugh. I hope you enjoy. Hi, welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy today. I have one of my most favorite friends, most inspiring designers I know, Sarah Story. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here with you. I couldn't think of a better person to talk to.
Well, I just have to tell our listeners here on a freezing cold November 1st day, this is about the biggest sunshine we can be bringing into our day and our lives today. And get ready, listeners, because wait till you hear Sarah's laugh. But I am so thrilled to have you. And just for our listeners also, Sarah is not only the most, you know, one of the most acclaimed interior designers for her projects she's done. She's an adventurer, lover of life, and incredible mother of three children, and one of my very best friends as my first mom friend here in New York City. So, Sarah, this feels like a cocktail party, but I'm so happy to have you here. And I can't wait for our listeners to hear all about your incredible career, your projects, and most importantly, your first book, The Art of Home. So
yes,
it's so exciting, but I want to start from the beginning. And you have an incredible background. So I want to hear more about your background.
Okay. So I was born in Japan and then we moved to Singapore, which I think really had an important impact on my design aesthetic. And then we moved to Texas, which is like the complete opposite. So you think about Japan and Singapore, it's very refined. It's very tailored. It's pretty insular. It's very edited, curated. And you move to Texas, everything is like bold and brash and larger than life. The scale of everything is so different. So I feel like the juxtaposition between Asia and Texas really influenced my taste, my design, my point of view. So that's kind of where I started. And then from Texas, I lived in California for a long time, going to school, going to interior architecture school in San Francisco, and then moved to New York. So I've been here for 23 years. So I've been in business for 20 years, Sarah Story Design. And before that, I worked for Victoria Hagen for 3 years, which was really influential.
And I think to your point, first of all, I think the way you described your upbringing and your influences describes who you are, refined and edited and elevated on the one hand, and then big and bold and bright on the other. So you defined it perfectly.
And what's interesting is I didn't really understand that. And so I started to put the book together. Like I really didn't understand that maybe having that early childhood in Asia really influenced me so much. And then thinking about Texas and like spending so much time on a ranch and like in pickup trucks and everything is like loud and boisterous and outgoing. I just was there for a week, and it just further reminded me, like, it's so different in Texas. Like, I was at the airport, like, something drops, like, four people came over to, like, try to help pick it up. You know, it's like, and everyone is so friendly, and, like, this scale is so big. And so it was interesting to think about that. And I think putting a book together, you really start to develop the story even more.
Yeah.
Which I hadn't really thought about, but it was a really interesting process.
Yeah. And you start to focus on that. And I think I want to get to the book because you have had this incredible career and such a colorful career and these amazing projects, which really have been recognized by Architectural Digest and Interior Design and Wall Street Journal and New York Times and all of that. But take me back to the beginning, because what really inspired you to become an interior designer? I know you worked with Victoria Hagen. You had this incredible experience traveling the world, living in Asia, going to Texas, coming to New York, California. But you know, what led you to become an interior designer?
So when I finished college, I had a degree in psychology, and I realized quickly that I didn't think I could do that. Because I would be working in hospital wards, working with children whose parents were not around. There was, like, substance abuse. There was, you know, real mental issues. And I just didn't think that I could process that on a daily basis. Like, it was too heavy for me. And so then I decided I was going to be in marketing and sales. And I just remember, like, just sifting through, like, pages and pages of spreadsheets with a ruler. And I was just like, I don't like this. So I called my dad and I said, I need to go back to school. Cause I always knew from just like a really early age that I loved design. Mm-hmm. I loved ripping up my carpet in my bedroom, painting my concrete floors. I was always doing that. And my mom was actually really great because she was always welcoming that and encouraging that. So it was actually beautiful that she was like that. So I went back to school. I got a degree in interior architecture. So I do feel like we send our kids off to school to study something. And sometimes you just start taking classes and you enjoy the class. So you think, oh, I'm going to take that psychology class, the sociology class. But you have to really think about what you're going to do day to day and what kind of outlets you want. So I knew I wanted something creative. So that lent me to interior design and moving to New York and, you know, finding a job with someone that I really admired, which I think is key too. Like, you have to find someone that you really admire to work for, because you have to really learn the business.
Yeah, no, and it's so true. And I think that's obviously in any industry, but certainly in design and that creative aspect, you want to be with someone who you respect, you trust, you can learn from. Talk to me about your design style and philosophy. I mean, you had this incredible mentor, but when you decided to go off on your own, you know, it's a big leap of faith that you can do it. You've taken everything you've learned and then applying it in your own way. So describe a little bit about your philosophy and design style.
So what's so interesting though, is that now I find myself surrounded by Excel spreadsheets. It's full circle. Yeah. Because what I did learn is to run a successful interior design firm is 90% business.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's creative, and I'm actually scheming for a project right now in the office, and it's so fun. And that makes me so excited. And it's the most exciting part. But majority of it is really just running an efficient business. Having the projects on time, having the projects on budget, having, you know, great communication with your clients. And most of my clients are, you know, obviously very successful business men and women. And, you know, we have to run a tight ship. So the creative aspect is so fun. And I do feel like each project, I really try to have it be different. Mm-hmm. So really I take it from the architecture, the landscape. It has to reflect the clients, who they are, what their passion is, what their hobbies are. And most of my projects are very art focused. So that's why I really called the book The Art of Home, because the home is the most important thing to me. I mean, where you spend time with your family, your friends, for me, that is just, it's like a cocoon. It's like where you recharge. It's like where you feel safe. It's like what it reflects about you. So that is so important, but also like, I think art, and it's not, doesn't have to be fine art, gives you so much inspiration, gives you so much energy. So art is a huge focus for me. So that's one of the reasons why I called it the art of home.
Which I love, because having been in your homes, you have the most incredible art and it is such an inspiration for you. And I just want our listeners to know also, you know, Sarah is an inspiration in that, as I said at the beginning, she's running this business. She's got three children. She is a world traveler and a true lover of life and art. And you bring that into not only your home, but that influences you with your clients as well. And I just want to take a moment because I think from my perspective, you are so influenced by the art, but also your travelers. And that goes back to your upbringing. But talk a little bit about that inspiration, because I want to get to Art of Home and how you selected the projects that are in there. But I think just for our listeners, you travel the world. And you really, in the best way, it truly. But that you bring that, the influences of the art that you see around the world back to your projects. So
100% traveling to me, it just brings me so much joy and it like inspires me so much. And just like seeing a new culture, getting to know a new landscape, going to Africa, being with, you know, people from Tanzania, climbing Kilimanjaro, like being surrounded by new things that I don't know. And like then flying to Morocco and finding like local craftspeople, or going to, you know, Europe is always like such, so true and so inspirational, and going to the Parisian flea markets. And I was just in London for the big art fair Frieze and Pad. And so all of that's always making my work more interesting, because I'm always learning. So I'm always learning wherever I'm going. And I have like a high energy level, like someone I know, Kate Dergy.
Well, I was going to just rewind a moment, because I think you glossed over between, you know, Paris, Turkey, Mount Kilimanjaro. Because for those that are listening, Sarah just climbed Mount Kilimanjaro and you set the goal for yourself and you did it. And so what was that experience? Aside from challenging yourself, how do you bring that moment of setting a goal, hitting it, and then bringing it back to work? What did that do for you?
Well, I think, first of all, I really try to have at least one or two major athletic accomplishments a year. So if that's climbing a mountain, if that's running a marathon, if that's doing something to really push myself, I need that. Because I feel like, and I try to tell this to my kids, if they listen to me, I say, you have to challenge yourself, because when you accomplish a goal, it makes you feel really good. It gives you self-confidence. So now, like, hiking Kilimanjaro and like pushing myself for 7 nights, camping where it's like the wind is blowing. I'm like, I have a hot water bottle, like cuddling because I'm so cold and like I haven't eaten anything good in a while. And I'm like going to the bathroom outside on the regular basis. Then going into a client meeting or going and talking in front of 30 people or going to do anything isn't that hard.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. So like when you're at the gym and you're pushing yourself to sprint on the treadmill for a certain amount of time, and then you're doing hard weights, it makes everything else easier in your life.
Yeah. It is that physical strength that you bring into your mental game, into your everyday, regardless of whatever you're doing.
And hiking something like Kilimanjaro was much more mental than physical.
Yeah.
So like just wrapping your head around the conditions, waking up at midnight with a headlamp on and hiking until 7 a.m. but with your like with a mild headache pounding and like it's really cold and you're seeing people like passing out around you, like that's mental.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it, so it just kind of gives you a threshold of pain to be able to push through.
Mm-hmm. So the next client you meeting you take and they're pushing you and pushing, you're like, you know what? I just climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, so I can handle you.
Well, I've just like on this press tour, and I used to be really shy about talking in front of a bunch of people. And I walked into, you know, a panel in Dallas on Monday, like 2 days ago, and there was a lot of people there, and I was on stage. And you know what? I thought to myself, if I could climb that mountain, this is fine. I got this. And I really felt so comfortable.
Yeah.
So it really, it's just setting challenges, setting goals. And I think you and I are both, we like to live our life. Like,
to the fullest. 100%.
I'm more scared about not living my life than anything else.
Yeah. But you're also doing what you love. So mm-hmm. when you're talking about getting in front of this audience, you're talking about your projects and your passion and, you know, that passion that you have on Mount Kilimanjaro or handstands for those who haven't seen Sarah's Instagram. You can go to Sarah's Story Design.
My bum on the regular.
But you challenge yourself and you're living life to the fullest, but you're passionate about what you do. And I think for your clients, they have to see that. And that's probably why you have been so successful with these projects, because who wants to work with a boring designer? But you're living, breathing authenticity of inspiration. And I am sure bringing that the best out of your clients because of it.
My goal is to design an interior that inspires my clients. That's it.
Yep.
So I want to give them an inspiring place, be it the textures on the materials, the atmospheric lighting, that's these sculptural elements, the incredible art, the sculptures, like the colors. That's my goal. I want to inspire them. I want them to live in an inspiring place. I select art and pieces for my home to inspire my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want them to live in happiness and wonder in a magical setting. Like, if someone comes to my home and says, wow, I feel so happy here. Like, that's all I want to hear.
Yeah, it's the best compliment.
I want happiness. I want love. And I want to give that to my clients. So I love what I do.
Yeah, I know you do. And it shines through. And so with a new client, talk to us a little bit about the design process and how you begin, because I think it is fascinating. You have repeat clients who have several properties, you know, across the country. You've just started a project in Paris. So there's clearly a loyalty with your, mm-hmm. with your clients, but where do you begin with your design process in a project?
So it is so true. Probably because I've been in business for 20 years now, I have so many repeat clients, and that's so nice because the level of trust is there. So mm-hmm. it's just like, they trust me, I trust them. That's really, it's like a seamless, beautiful relationship that just grows and grows and grows. With new clients, it's really about, I really try to kind of get to know them a bit, see like what they're kind of like, what their interests are. And you can kind of tell that pretty instantly. And then I'll show them a lot of inspiration images and see what they gravitate toward, mm-hmm. but also like want to push them a bit too. So like, I don't want it to always just be like a safe, you know, I don't want
right.
you know, like if they're like, I want everything neutral. I also want to like introduce some colors to get them outside of their comfort zone. Cause that is why I'm coming to the table. Right. I want to impart things I've learned, impart my knowledge and bring something to the table to show them.
And letting their personality shine through the process, because I think that's where I think of you as being such an inspiration, but you bring the best out in people. So you bring the best of their personalities into their home, because it's not you living in their home.
Right. Exactly. And that's like so key. And like, mm-hmm. you nailed it. Like, this home, this space that I'm designing should reflect my clients.
Yes.
It's not about me.
Right.
And so I'm trying to bring everything I know and bring out the best in them. So it reflects them, but sometimes pushing them a little bit. And usually when I try to push them on things and then they end up going for it, they tell me at the end, like it's some of their favorite parts of the house.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, like if I push them on doing some like really, you know, interesting marble for like a feature wall. They're like, oh, I'm kind of scared. And then it'll be like, that's the favorite thing of our house.
Yeah. Well, it's, and I hope I've got to remember, because in The Art of Home, one of my most favorite rooms of yours is the dining room in Niederhurst with that incredible wallpaper. And it's so dramatic that it was, I think you probably even felt like you were taking a chance, but it's one of 100%. My most favorite rooms.
Yeah, I definitely felt like I was taking a chance. And now when people come over for dinner parties, they're like, this, it's like a whole other personality in the room.
Yeah.
It's a whole other personality in the room. You want to be in there. It has so much energy and like these crazy vibe. And because I did something so crazy on the walls, everything else in that room is very understated. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of coming back to that juxtaposition between Japan and Texas, like, the table is just simple oak. The chairs are just like black leather. The rug is just like a very kind of organic textural, like tone on tone. So nothing else is competing with that. And that's why I feel like it works.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And it is in your Art of Home, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They wanted it to be the cover, but I'm like, I think it's too crazy.
No, it would have been an amazing cover. But I think like,
I want people who are just like neutral palates to buy the book too. I want to unload some books.
Yeah. which we will do, because I think all of our listeners will be so happy to see the book. And I want to talk about what brought you to doing a book. It's, you know, you did this book with Rizzoli. It just came out this month. It's beautiful. Many incredible projects and so many diverse projects, right? You have such a range. Talk to us a little bit about that process. How did you select those projects? Because I'm sure, you know, those are some of your favorites, but you probably have so many. But talk to us about the book.
Well, so it's been 20 years being in the business. So I thought it seemed like a right amount of time to finally come out with a book. But I also felt like I had enough work that was so diverse in mm-hmm. not only location, like Colorado, California, Texas, Sag Harbor, New York City. So, you know, those are very different areas, different geography. And then the styles of the houses are very different too. Like yeah. a beach house, a ranch, a high rise living in New York City, a house in Beverly Hills. So it was diverse. I wanted it diverse. I wanted the architecture diverse. I wanted the styles diverse, locations. So I just thought it would be fun to finally put it together. And part of me, I wanted something for my children yeah. to have.
To memorialize all the hard work. And as I said, you are such an inspiration, but to have it in one place is such a representation of all that you have accomplished. And it really is beautiful. So for those who, you know, are looking for a new coffee table book and
Christmas
for
is right around the corner.
Holidays are right around the corner, you can buy it online. Sarah, you are constantly putting goals in front of yourself, right? And you challenge yourself. 20 years in the career, very successful. What are you putting in front of you for the next 5, 10, 20 years ahead, career-wise?
I would love to do boutique hotels.
Yeah.
So I want to put together a plan for that. I'd like to do some that are in rural Texas and some that are in the towns of Texas, and they're all very kind of art focused as well. That's something I really want to do. I want to do more commercial work, like restaurants. Oh, you know, you can throw in some maybe airplanes, some yachts.
Just, the world is your oyster for designing.
And then, you know, I'd love to do the White House.
Yeah. I mean, she sets the bar high. I told our listeners. And by the way, if you can hear Sarah's laugh, which you all can, it is true sunshine. But if you go into a restaurant with Sarah's story, if you're in a quiet restaurant, you better move your table. So, because everyone will hear her laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. And I get the side, we get the side eye a lot.
The side, exactly. But let's go back to Texas, because you were talking about how you want to work on hotels in Texas. But I also want to talk about your giving back and what you're doing. And specifically, you spend a lot of time in Texas. You have an incredible ranch that's there that architecturally is just like off the charts, gorgeous. But what you're doing now in Center Point, in terms of the revitalization that you're doing, can you talk a little bit about that?
I feel so grateful to have Texas and to have our ranch there. To be able to like immerse ourselves in nature, and we have so many animals and the big blue sky and the beautiful sunrises and sunsets, and having my family there. So the little town close to us is, you know, struggling. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have a lot of commerce. A lot of the girls are pregnant, you know, while they're in high school. Most don't go to college. There's not a lot of opportunities, and there's not a lot of culture. Mm-hmm. So my husband and I decided, let's give back because we can. So, you know, starting scholarships and helping girls and boys who want another opportunity, to want to go to college, to want to go to trade school, to give them those opportunities, to show them that there are those opportunities and we're willing to help them, A, and B, give culture to the town. So we bought this old building from the 1800s, this old bank building. We've renovated it. Now it's an artist residency. We just have our first artist completing his residency now. We had our first group show with all Texas artists in July. I have another artist from Ghana booked for the springtime. So it's just like opening our doors and showing them art in a way that like art has given me so much joy and happiness. And our first sculpture by Yoshitomo Nara is in this sculpture garden there, which is like this little girl with a big tree on top of her head. And like the little girls in town like sit and watch it when they get home from school. And it's like, I could almost start crying because it's all about giving them joy and saying like, there are so many things in life, like spread your wings and fly. There's so many opportunities and there's a big world out there.
Yeah. Well, now you're going to make me start crying. And we are still on the podcast and we're not crying over a dinner table. But I love that. And that is such a beautiful gift to, you know, this town that you live in. You know, it's a second home for you guys and you spend so much time, and that is an incredible way to give back. And so you just launched this. This was the, as you said.
So July, we had our first group show. We showed, the title of the show was Art is Love. And I had featured all Texas artists because I wanted it just to be like fun, playful. Like art doesn't have to be like an old master's painting you see in a museum. It could be like some beautiful like creature that looks like something out of like, you know, Sesame Street that's beaded by African women. So everything was very playful, approachable. It's not serious. It's not stuffy. It's all about love and being joyful and grateful.
And that is the way you live your life, and that you're bringing it full circle to your book, Art is Home, and Art is Love and Joy and Living Life to the Fullest, which you do in spades. And so for an aspiring interior designer, what advice would you give them other than travel the world if you can, or climb Mount Kilimanjaro if you can? But what, for one coming out of college or an aspiring, what's the advice you would give?
I would say find the designer that you admire the most and try to work for them. Mm-hmm. And that could start off in an internship position and just work your tail off and learn everything and really learn the business. It's not about like colors and furniture at the beginning. It's just really learning how to operate a business and running a project efficiently and communicating with clients and your coworkers and your boss. And it's just really learning how to be in the industry, learn as much as you can and really be like dedicated and try to stick it out for, you know, stick it out for a while before you start your own thing. Cause there's really so much to learn.
I was going to say, you have been such a collaborator. And when I think of you, I think of you as so open, so loving, so warm and generous. You know, there's other designers who aren't like you and are out there and they are very siloed. So I would assume also you get a lot of your inspiration from other designers. Is there, you know, anyone in particular that you know, you're truly inspired by or you work closely with?
That's such a good question. Well, I hang out with a lot of designers,
yeah,
which is actually really fun. And we travel a lot and go to design shows, and that's very inspiring. And I actually really love to talk to people in the industry and spend time with, because you can really learn a lot from them, and yeah, you can really, it's nice to be able to like talk shop with someone. I think one of the designers that I admire so much is Pierre Yovanovitch, who's out of Paris. I was lucky enough to go to his chateau in Provence this summer, and he really just like being able to walk around his house. And I was like, I was amazing, like getting up in like the kitchen, the bedrooms. I was like, everything is just so thoughtful and designed, every finish on. And then also he has a beautiful piece of property with all these incredible sculptures and like follies, and he collaborates a lot with artists as well. So he really inspires me, and he's so lovely too. And so nice to spend time with. But so yeah. And I love it when designers do collaborations with artists. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's always really, I'm so inspired by artists and you. I'm so inspired by you.
Well, I'm so inspired by you, but I think it is, as you were saying, you know, for these aspiring young interior designers, yes, find the mentor, but also your contemporaries. You learn as much as we talk about, like you and I can sit, you know, at dinner with our other first mom friend, Duff, and we just are able to talk and share and learn from each other. So that's why, you know, I'm so grateful for my contemporaries that inspire me, mm-hmm, other, you know,
so true,
working women, you know, and men, who inspire me. So,
and they say, and I try to say this to, I say this to my kids, but the people you surround yourself with are the most influential people in your life.
100%.
Usually more than your parents will be. Like, you need to surround yourself by inspiring people. So it's like, you have a friend that's just like lazy on the sofa and ordering, you know, Uber Eats and watching TV all day. Yeah, that's fine occasionally, but like, you need to surround yourself by inspiring people. And I feel like I'm lucky that I have friends that inspire me so much too. So it's not just, you're right, like your boss. It's being around people who inspire you, having friends that inspire you. And also just like getting out there and like really drilling down on like what you love. If it's art, going to museums, galleries, if it's sports, you know, drilling down on that, or if it's needlepoint, you know, figuring that out, like whatever it is, like,
just go for it.
Like, learn about something, like have passions, like live it, like walk the walk, right?
Yeah. Well, and then you take that into whatever you are doing. So back to, you know, your clients and what you bring to them, is that's the differentiation. That is what differentiates Sarah's story from other interior designs, is exactly what you're talking about. This passion and this love of life and handstands and climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, traveling the world. But well, I know we've taken up some time, and I'm so grateful for that. And you and I can spend a lot more time laughing and talking.
Which we will.
But
soon,
yes,
with sake and yes, sushi.
Sushi. but for our listeners, you know, go pick up The Art of Home. It is love. It is laughter. It is Sarah's bright light, and it is such an incredible representation of the 20 years she's had in interior design. And I'm just so proud of you and so grateful you've joined us on the safari.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited that I got a chance to sit and talk to you and look at you and Zoom.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
So go follow Sarah on Instagram, pick up her book, and Thank you again for your time.
If you want to learn a little bit more about Traub, you can go to traub.io, where you'll learn a lot about everything that we do. If you're enjoying the Safari, please do share it with your friends and colleagues within the industry. And please also don't forget to subscribe and like it. Until next time.